But let's go right there to verse 1 and look at them in order as we see the great discoveries about God David learned. And if you're headed toward a storm, or if you're in the midst of a storm, or if you're just kind of emerging from a storm in your life, then look out. There's some great discoveries about God that can be learned in that time. The first one is, he discovered that God is gracious. Let's read that slowly. He said, "Be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious to me." And as he emerged from that cave, and we saw at the end of Psalm 142 that he was just starting to look out. He was looking beyond his enemies. He was looking beyond the rabble that was behind him. Even though they were with him, sometimes they're giving him difficulties, as we'll see in just a moment. And he starts looking away from himself. And that's one of the main reasons why God brings us through afflictions and through trials, to refine us, to help us look outside of ourselves, outside of our own resources, outside of our own strength, and to look up at the God who was leading us and was gracious to us. His first discovery about God was that God was gracious. God is gracious to even save someone that was such a sinner and such a weak and evil man as he knew he was, as he expresses in the Psalms. But when we think about graciousness, there's a key passage in all the Scripture, and maybe you've never seen this before, so I want you to look at it with me and never get tired of turning pages. Exodus 33. I hope that you notice a significant wearing on your Bible, because we should learn to be all over this book, because every word of God is pure and all Scripture is profitable for us to learn from. But in Exodus 33, we're right in the midst of the golden calf incident, 32 to 34. You remember that the Israelites, as they were following Moses, sometimes when he was out of sight, was also out of mind, and so was God. And they got involved and embroiled in this great sinful time. They made a representation of God, and God hates to be worshipped in a human way. And he hates any false worship, even by true worshipers, if they come in a wrong way. And he's about ready to destroy them, and Moses is interceding, and this is one of the crucial intercessory passages of all the Scripture. Chapter 33 of Exodus, in verse 12, he starts his prayer, but look at verse 13. And in the midst of this intercession mode, Moses says this, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me know thy ways." Now why did he want to know God's ways? "That I may know thee." Doesn't that remind you of Psalm 103, where he says he made known his ways to Moses, but only his acts to the children of Israel? Do you see the distinction there? Moses was one who wanted to know God, so God showed him the way he was going. The children of Israel could have cared less sometimes, and so they just knew that, bang, God split the Red Sea. Bang, God fed them. Bang, God decimated the Egyptians and swallowed them up in the sea. They only knew his actions. But Moses knew the way he was going. And we see that expressed in his heart here. "Let me know your ways, that I may know thee." Kind of sounds like somebody else, doesn't it? Who's that sound like in the New Testament? The Apostle Paul. "That I may know thee in the power of your resurrection." And the heart's cry of these who sought after God was, "Let me know your ways, that I may know thee and find favor in thy sight." And then he starts talking to the Lord, and look at verse 18 of that 33rd chapter. Moses said, "I pray thee, show me thy glory." This is a significant passage. The glory of the Lord is an important thing. That is our chief end, and our desire of life is to glorify him and to reflect his glory and to be to the praise of his glory. And Moses got the idea, and he says, "I pray thee, show me thy glory." And the Lord talks. Listen to this. "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you." Now, what did he say? "Show me your glory." What is his glory? This is a key passage, learning what the glory of the Lord is. Sometimes we just think it's glowing or something, or not sure. It's kind of an uncertain thing. But God said, "If you want to see my glory, I myself will make my goodness pass before you. And, listen, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. Okay? Now look at verse 22. He says, and it will come to pass while my glory is passing by, that I will cover you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will take my hand away from you, and you'll see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Because it would have consumed him. Because God's glory is so holy and his power is so great that Moses could not look fully at him. And so God said, I'm going to shield you. And this is a little bit where the hymn writer talks about in the cleft of the rock, where we can hide. And another hymn writer put it that the cleft of the rock is the riven side of Christ, as he was wounded for us so that we can partake of God's glory. But that's the setting, and now here's what I want you to see in chapter 34. Because Moses said, I want to know your ways and I want to see your glory. God said, okay, you can't look at it head on, but I'm going to put you up in this little spot, cover you up, kind of shield you, and then I'm going to go by, and then I'm going to pull my hand off, and as I'm going by, you're going to look at the backward or backside of me, and you're going to see my glory. So the big event takes place. Moses gets up there and gets covered and all those things. And then verse 5 says of chapter 34, and this is magnificent. And some of you that might be looking for verses to memorize, this is a good one to memorize. I remember Pastor Boyd, where I used to serve down in Greenville, made us memorize this verse because he used to always, big old Southern, huge preacher, he'd just quote this often. But I'll start in verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. And here's old Moses, and he's doing something. Where some of this is cloaked in mystery, but he's calling on the name of the Lord. I don't know whether he was saying, now come by or show me or whatever he did. And the Lord passed by, verse 6, in front of him. What a marvelous thing to think that you can know God well enough that you can ask him a specific request. I want to see your glory, and he'll do it, and he sets up this little deal to cover you up so you don't get burnt to a crisp. But now verse 6, and the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, and here's the glory of the Lord. It's marvelous. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. Wow. You want to know what the glory of the Lord is? It's the fact that he is compassionate to us who are undeserving, that he is gracious to us who merit no grace, that he is slow to anger with us who so often, if he treated us like sometimes we treat others, he would burn us up in a moment, but we so often offend him, and he is slow to anger. And he abounds in loving kindness, chesed, his loving loyalty to us. He's made a commitment to us. Because he made that commitment, he's going to be there. Kind of like the coach with the fledgling team. He makes a commitment to stick with them even if they lose every game. He's got a commitment there. On the eternal level, God abounds in his loving loyalty to us and his truth to us. Well, what's David talking about? Back to Psalm 57. Because that's just a brief snapshot of God's graciousness. God's graciousness is all bound up in his glory, in his compassion, in his loving loyalty to us at a high degree, on the fact that because he made a covenant with the children of Israel, he was going to see them through. Even if he had to burn up every one of them, he was going to get one through, just to show the glory of his name, that he was going to call out a people for himself. And David ponders all that. And as the man after God's own heart, he is echoing out there in that barren, desolate land, looking out the mouth of a cave, and he says, I've made a great discovery about you, O God. You're gracious. Have you ever met a gracious person? I'm accused these days of being too gracious. I didn't even know I was gracious, but I'm too gracious. Because I am kind to people that are unkind, but God is so gracious in an eternal degree to us. He makes us realize that we have worth in his sight because he condescends to us of low estate. He is gracious to us. He is gracious in His loving loyalty to us. He's made a covenant with us. And that covenant He made with us is not the Sinai covenant that was abrogated. He made one that will never pass away, the new covenant. And He's loyal to it. And I want you to know that the reason why, if you don't detect a lot of human systems to make people holy and righteous in my preaching, it's because I believe so much in the power of God. Because we are partakers of the new covenant, we have an internal prompting of God's Spirit that causes us to want to obey Him, that causes us to want to feed on His Word, that causes us to want to walk in His way. And that's because He's so gracious that His loving loyalty is toward us. And yes, we need to be exposed to God's Word, but any time the Christian life is reduced to being led around and forced, it's not the life that's of God. It's not through His powerful new covenant that causes us to walk in the newness of life, energized by His Spirit. And every time I see something like this, the Spirit of God within me just draws me into saying with David, "Oh, You are gracious to me, O God. Oh, be gracious to me." God is gracious. He is so gracious to us to even give us His attention, to even condescend to us of low estate, to even offer us salvation.